Welcome back to the Retro Craptacular Podcast, where each month we continue our search for the best bad movies on the planet Earth. I am your host, Aaron, and I am joined, as always, by Matt.
Ooh, grease lightning lips.
They call me Lightning Lips Aaron.
I would swipe right.
In and out of the bedroom.
Oh, well. What's out of the bedroom, lightning lips like?
I'm talking fast.
Right. I was immediately distracted by in the bedroom. Anyway.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show.
The out of the bedroom isn't the interesting part. Anyways, yeah, thank you. Thank you for welcoming.
I was talking to the listeners.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Those people.
Thank you.
Hey, you.
Kevin. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Also, others.
We're off to a great start. Yeah, but mostly Kevin.
Mostly.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Kevins.
That's why I said Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of George Takei.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What a time.
We have some stuff to talk about. As promised in previous podcasts, we wanted to wait until all of Marvel's Moon Knight had aired so that we could discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go first or should I go first?
It's
should
the best watch? Thing they've done since WandaVision.
Yeah?
And I need to watch WandaVision again because I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't want to say whether it's better or worse than WandaVision.
Oh.
But, like, this is the new standard.
Wow.
Following things make it so. One, you can watch it without having seen anything else Marvel. You don't need to know anything about the existing Marvel universe. I think the only reference to anything previously existing in the MCU canon is to where it talks about the ancestral plane, which is a very, very loose reference to Black Panther.
Oh, I did not catch that.
The afterlife in Black Panther. That's it. And you didn't need to know that
clearly.
To enjoy the show. Number two, Oscar Isaac is the best actor in the MCU. You can quote me on that.
He's good. I do enjoy him in many ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was that it? That was one and two?
That's one and two. Number three, there's a hippo. That's it.
Okay. So
those are the three reasons.
Every Marvel show needs a hippo from now on.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Like a cute British hippo, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
Obviously.
Wow, that's so interesting that you liked it so much.
Did you not?
Nope.
Oh, really?
Yeah! So, honestly, like, and I might have felt differently about it if you hadn't told me a bit about Moon Knight, being you're a fan of the comics and everything. But when you
they stray a little bit from how things go in the comics as well.
I assumed.
Yeah.
But, I was kind of just, I was hoping for, like, more of a psychological thriller. Like, maybe something that really did toe the line of, like, oh, what's real and what's not. And the show kind of, like, dips its toe into that. But it was always obvious to me what was real and what wasn't. Which took away a lot of this, like, feeling of psychological thriller that I was hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, and I think a little bit of that, because, like, I also was like, well, like, okay, obviously, they can't have it all just be it was in his mind all along, because that wouldn't make for great storytelling.
It depends on how you do it. Like,
I guess it does depend on how you do it.
Episode one, I enjoyed thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is, like, you know, he goes to sleep and then he wakes up somewhere else and stuff's going on and there's voices in his head and it's all, like, wacky and stuff. And then he wakes up later in his bed and he, as the character, is convinced that it was all a dream.
Yeah.
And that was, I was like, okay, this is cool. I'm on board. But then, like, immediately after that falls away and he just, like, has another dude in his head, which, like, and I think, like, Mark Spector, Stephen Grant, is supposed to have dissociative identity disorder, right? Is that, or is it multiple personalities? Because those are very different things. And I thought I read in the synopsis that he has a DID, but the dissociative part of it doesn't make sense if they're just talking to each other.
Yeah. In the comics, I believe it is supposed to be DID.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. In the Moon Knight comics that I've read, and I haven't read all of them, but I've read a few runs that I very much enjoy. They don't talk to each other.
Okay, because that would make more sense to me if they didn't, but it did make for some great, just Oscar Isaacs playing Oscar Isaacs moment. Like,
but I think you kind of have to do that for a show. Because I don't think it would work for, like, it would be weird to introduce Stephen Grant the way they do in episode one, and then have, like, episode two, all of a sudden he's Mark Spector.
Well, they do that eventually, don't they? Where Steven is in the background and Mark is taking control, and like
they do, but I mean, in episode one, he's talking to himself in the reflection, right? Like,
yeah.
The end of episode one, the jackal's trying to break into the bathroom, and he's like, "You got to give me control. You got to give me the body. I can save us." And they do that through episode two as well, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
So. I think it would be weirder and a lot more off-putting to the audience to just jump through identities without having them be aware of each other.
Yeah, I mean, I get that it would be harder, and so I think I was just hoping to be confused, which is a weird want for sure. But you know what? Even that, like, that's little stuff. I watched it. I enjoyed it at first, and then it started to go, and it started to kind of feel less like what I wanted and more like a Marvel show. But then near the end, it starts to ramp up again when stuff gets whack as shit, and there's a talking hippo, and I'm like, this is some crazy Egyptian lore stuff that I'm into, and I like it. And I started to be like, okay, maybe this is going to be good. But the finale, I hated.
Really?
Absolutely hated it. Yeah, where, it had already been alluded to in previous episodes that there was more than just two identities in the body, but for, like, the ultimate fight between Moon Knight and Harrow and, the name just slipped out of my mind. What's her name? Crap.
Oh, yep.
Dang it, I hate it when that happens so much.
It begins with an L. Layla.
Layla, and her, like, becoming an Egyptian avatar and having cool wings and stuff was dope. And they start having this awesome fight, and they start losing this awesome fight, and then someone else takes over the body, and then Harrow's dead, basically. Like, Harrow has lost. So they took the ultimate fight of the entire series and didn't show it, and that felt very unsatisfying.
That's weak.
Yeah, and then also the alligator starts eating all the souls of the people that are dying and gets, you know, giga, gets huge, which is cool, and then they wanted to have a big kaiju fight, so then Khonshu just also gets giant and starts fighting him. But I was like, well, why did Khonshu just get to be giant? She had to eat all those souls. If he could just be giant and erect shop, then what the fuck has he been doing this whole time?
It's a full moon.
That was why?
I don't know.
Okay. So they just that felt like a kind of like an undefined phenomenon in order to have a big kaiju battle.
Yeah.
Which, like, felt like it was mirrored in that the avatars were fighting, but also very disjunct in that they didn't actually seem to line up very much. Like, they just had their own fights, and then Harrow loses all of a sudden, and we don't get to see it, and then that ends, and then Mark and Steven are like, okay, I guess we share a body and we're best friends now, and Oscar Isaac is cute, and that's great. And then he wakes up in his bed and is like, okay, it's time to have a great day where Steven and Mark, and I'm just sitting there being like, what the fuck? What about Layla, first of all?
Yeah.
Where is she? How did her story end? Is she still an avatar? She's your wife, Mark. Why is that unresolved? And they just don't address it at all. And then we have is there going to be a Moon Knight 2? I was under the impression that there wasn't.
They're saying there isn't, but I think it's because they want to... The theory is they've entered it in the Emmys as under the limited series category, so it has a better chance of winning awards.
Sure, okay.
And then later they'll be like, actually, we're doing season 2.
All right.
You don't hire Oscar Isaac for a streaming show and just do 6 episodes.
I don't know. I mean, like...
I mean, I know it's Disney. I know they have a lot of money, but it's just like... I don't know. That to me is weird to go like, we're going to go get one of the biggest actors in the world right now and pay them a shit ton of money to play a very, 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 very niche character.
Yep.
On a streaming service show. Like, if you know, if you're going out and getting Oscar Isaac to play, I mean, who do they have left at this point? I don't know. Reed Richards in the Fantastic Four. It's like that.
I would watch that.
Yeah, sure. Like if you're going out to get him to do that, it's like, okay, that makes a bit more sense because that's a big name actor and a big name character, big name property.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you go and get someone of that caliber just to put them on Disney Plus for 6 episodes.
All right. Well, I guess like I just don't know what to expect because I just felt really unsatisfied by the finale. I was like, why did you do that? What is this show doing?
And I mean, plus it ends on a bit of a cliffhanger.
With the after credit scene, you mean? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing, too, is that they had the after credit scene to finally confirm that there's more identities, but like we already knew that. It was made very obvious in the last episode in a way that was not needed. If they had that end credit scene without having the final moments of fighting Hero taken away, it would have been more impactful because maybe we would have forgotten that those clues were already dropped throughout the show instead of making it just blatantly obvious. But then also like, oh, so he's still the Moon Knight. He's still in Khonshu's thrall. Like the body is. It's just that they're different personalities.
It's Jake now.
So in that way, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Which also just was the kind of the final nail in the coffin for me feeling extremely unsatisfied by the way the show ended.
Nothing has changed except Steven and Mark both think that they're free.
I guess.
But they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a new interesting form of conflict. I don't know.
Hmm. Well,
you know, it's a little asterisk, right? Like, oh yeah, Steven and Mark, you guys are free. Wink. Huh? Mm. Wink.
Yeah.
Nothing about Jake though. Jake Lockley, he's still my avatar. And then yeah. I don't know. I think I really enjoyed it. I liked the way that they use the personalities to interact with each other. I would like to like I enjoyed the episodes.
Are there 8 in total?
There's 6.
6, right.
I think 4 and 5.
When they're in the tomb?
When they're in the mental hospital. I like the Mind Palace episode.
Oh, okay.
Where Steven sort of finds out his origin.
Mm.
And that's like, that's Oscar Isaac doing the best acting that's ever happened in the MCU.
Yeah, it was all very good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a talented person.
Yeah. I don't know. I really dug it. And I liked... Because, like, to me, I never expected them to go, like, oh, it was just all going to be in his head. You know, like, I thought that would have been a weird twist to take us on.
Yeah, but it would have been so different.
Yeah.
So I was at the point of being very, like, tired of seeing Marvel as a genre, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking for something real different. And, yeah, this was different. It just wasn't real different in the way that I was kind of hoping.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really glad that you enjoyed it, though. I don't mean to like shit on it. I hope I'm not.
No. I think you raised valid points. I agree. The Deus Ex Machina in the last episode is a little bit.
And the biggest thing for me is Layla. Like, there was no end for Layla. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
There's the end of the fight, and we just don't see her anymore.
Does she still
almost
have,
like, rushed or something?
Does she still have the gold wings from the hippo avatar?
Yeah. Think about that.
I mean, I guess, like, Harrow didn't turn into a crocodile, so he's kind of ran around in that freaking brown set of pajamas for...
With some sandals that have glass in them.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Weird.
That's how the show starts.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on? I don't know, and I like it.
Apparently that was Ethan Hawke's idea to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a cool bit of, like, an actor, you know, embodying their character.
Hmm. Sweet.
Yeah.
Nasty.
No, I mean, I think there's going to be a season two, or he's going to show up in some other movies or something.
Yeah, you gotta wonder, like, you know, obviously for so long Marvel was building up to having all of the characters in a movie together,
mm-hmm.
as, like, you know, Infinity War and Endgame and everything. So are they building up to something now?
I mean, I think you've got Daredevil coming back in No Way Home, and he's going to be,
mm-hmm.
there was an announcement this week that they're doing something with Daredevil for Disney Plus.
Ooh.
You've got Moon Knight. Blade has been announced.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Blade is coming back. Slash has been announced in the end credit scene of Eternals when Jon Snow picks up the sword.
Oh, yeah.
And you hear that voice. That's supposed to be the voice of Blade.
Oh.
So, like, they're building up to some sort of, like, not the Dark Avengers, but there's a... Fuck. There's another
Revengers.
No. There's another
thing.
It's Shadow something. I don't know. Someone's screaming at their phone right now. but there is like a for a lack of a better term, like the Dark Avengers kind of more
the anti-hero Avengers.
Anti-hero street level horror themed kind of like the Punisher might be in it as well in the comics, so they might be building up to something like that. I don't know. They're going weird places with this phase because
we've also seen trailers drop now for Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk.
Which I could have never been less interested in a show than I have been in She-Hulk, I don't think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
Well, like, just make her buff.
Yeah, I thought
she's
that was
not buff.
Strange.
And apparently that was like a top-down decision, like, don't make her too muscular. We want her to be hot.
Seriously?
Make her hot.
You know what? A little movie came out a while ago called Encanto.
Yeah.
Seen it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Love it. When they made dolls, you know, because that's what it's really all about. When they made dolls of the characters, they didn't make very many of the huge buff sister because they were like, you know what? That's not going to sell. Everyone's going to want the really pretty one that makes flowers. And there was such a huge demand for the older sister dolls that were all beefy. And like the animators had to fight so hard to make her look muscular. And the kids loved it.
Mm-hmm.
They loved it.
Yep.
So enough of this bullshit.
Totally. And like, leave the kids out of it. There's a whole bunch of men and women and people out there that want a She-Hulk that has a step on me mommy kind of vibe.
Also very legitimate, yes.
Which they put in the trailer. You know, a little bit. Like,
I mean,
when she's like
true.
Going on the dates and he's like, this is the best date I've ever been on. I was like, that guy wants a tall queen.
And she's like holding him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, look at She-Hulk in the comic. She's ripped.
Yeah, ripped as fuck.
Yeah.
Part of being the Hulk, right?
Yeah.
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 It's like, scientifically speaking, You can't just like have super strength just because you're green. You have to have.
Yeah. Have you seen the Grinch? He had to work so damn hard to push all those toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Hulk is muscles.
Yep.
All of them.
All of the muscles.
All of them are big.
I'm talking delts.
Yeah.
I'm talking traps. Other muscles.
Quads.
Those are muscles.
Yeah. Delts. Said that already.
Probably.
Neck muscles.
Those ones. He's all of them.
He can swallow so well.
Oh my gosh.
When he eats, my goodness. Nothing can choke the Hulk. Which is a good thing because no one can give the Hulk the Heimlich.
Oh, good point. Never thought of that.
But let's pivot from Marvel on the small screen to Marvel on the big screen for a second. Because we also saw Doctor Strange in the multiverse of Pretty Basic, actually.
Oh, so what did you think of this movie?
It was a movie.
Yeah?
Yeah. The most interesting part of that movie was when they jumped through all of the dimensions that they didn't stay in.
Wow.
That 15 seconds. I'm like, oh, stop in the cartoon universe. No. Stop in the paint. No.
Did it,
stop in the one that's old-timey noir.
Did it look like,
no.
Like Into the Spider-Verse? Didn't it look like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. That's the one.
But, like, they had such an opportunity here to do something mind-bendingly insane. You've opened up the multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Anything
you can do whatever. And what did they choose to do? Squids. Squid monster. And a New York where the traffic lights are reversed.
Yeah, they clearly didn't want to overwhelm the audience there.
That's it. Like, have a scene where Wolverine from the X-Men animated series,
that'd be cool,
comes into the scene, and he's a cartoon, you know?
Who Killed Roger Rabbit style?
Yeah, or he's just 2D, like that Son of Zorn or whatever.
Oh, gosh, no. I hate that.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, you could have done that, you could have had a character in the style of one of the Into the Spider-Verse characters. You could have done any number of things.
Yeah.
Any number. You could have gone to a dimension where they're all, you know, sentient eggplants.
Yes, they could have done anything, yeah, clearly. But
bring in Mickey Mouse. Do whatever.
Yeah, I guess they could, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, ultimately, I enjoyed the movie.
I enjoyed parts of it.
Okay.
I liked what they did with Wanda's character.
Yeah, honestly, like, I didn't know too much about it. I'd only seen, like, one trailer. But I went in thinking, you know what I would love is if they made Wanda the villain.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did, because she's a well-rounded character with a purpose that we understand and can appreciate.
Mm-hmm. And she's not trying to be a villain.
Yeah, that was the whole thing.
Which is what the best villains
is that, like,
are, right?
Her whole speech about, like, this is me being reasonable.
Yeah.
I was like, I love this speech.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not a bad person. I'm a mother.
Yeah.
And I just want to be with my children.
Yeah, I'm not a monster. I'm a mother.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. That's so understandable. And, like, still she's doing horrible things, but because we know where she's coming from, that makes it so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It was like when we understood what Thanos was trying to do, it made his journey so much more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He thinks he's doing the right thing, right?
Yeah.
For the greater good. And she thinks she's doing what's best for her.
Yeah.
Right?
And probably thinks that it's the best thing for her kids.
For her kids and like, you know, I think, like, what her what she's trying to do is she's like, look, I just want to go to another dimension, be with my kids, and I'm not going to bother anybody.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. It's so interesting. And then also, again, kind of that feeling of like, I don't want to see the genre Marvel movie. I want to see something different.
Mm-hmm.
There was enough in this movie that made me feel like, oh, they're pushing the envelope, especially when it came to the Illuminati.
Yeah.
And they started introducing the characters, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Ooh, that's cool. I'm like, whoa, Reed Richards. John Krasinski's in here. He makes a hot Reed Richards. I'm down. And then, of course, they drop Xavier.
Yeah.
Dr. X. And I squealed with glee because I'm a little fangirl. And then as soon as that wore off, I was like, oh, my God, they're going to kill Xavier.
Yeah.
And then after that, I quickly realized, oh, they're going to kill everyone in this room.
Yeah.
And the deaths
that
they did were so gruesome.
I love the body horror.
The body horror was exceptional in this movie. And when Wanda's being all creepy and shit, I was like, wow, this feels like a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite part of the movie, honestly. And
I will never be able to get it out of my head, seeing Dr. X's neck snapped. Like, I'm never going to forget that.
Oh, yeah.
That's burned into my brain.
For me, it's seeing Black Bolt's head explode and collapse in on itself.
That, too. When he, like, yeah, he tries to scream with no mouth and it blows up his brain. That was so nasty. I can't believe that's how the fight starts.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, there was a lot of fun magic in this, which I also liked, because I think my biggest complaint about the last Doctor Strange movie was that it's all just kind of a little bit of firecracker kung fu.
Yeah.
They're all just
fair assessment.
Shooting little orange sparky things at each other, and that's magic.
Yeah, and it felt a lot more like they were duping specific things, like casting actual spells and stuff.
Yeah, like he like is like, oh, I should get some giant magical hands to pick up this lamppost and throw it at the squid monster.
Yep.
And, you know, stuff like that. And they've fixed that a little bit in Infinity War. I liked the Doctor Strange does a little bit more Doctor Strange-ish magic in that movie, too, where he's, like cloning himself and using the red whips and stuff that he has in the comics. This took it even further, and so I liked that a lot. And, you know, the spells still have that orange sparky kind of look
for sure
to them, and you got to stick with that as established, but there's no reason you can't expand upon it, and that's what I really liked. Yeah, I liked the cameos. It was really cool to see Haley Atwell in there as Captain Carter.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
That was sweet.
And
honestly, too, one thing I really appreciated about it, like the kind of like climactic fight between Wanda as the villain and Doctor Strange as possessing a corpse of himself and harnessing the spirits of the dead to make like an undead cloak.
Yeah.
Was such a cool fight, and it left me being like, who's really the villain here?
Yeah.
Like, this is not a fight of good versus evil, as is classic in superhero movies. That's not it at all, and that makes it so much more interesting. There's so much more to digest.
Yeah, and, I mean, Doctor Strange has always kind of had that, like, moral ambiguity around
him. And that's explored in the movie, because, like, in every other universe, he's a big fucking problem.
Yeah.
Especially the evil Doctor Strange with the third eye that he has to fight. He has to go fight the Doctor Strange who's been going around other universes killing other Doctor Stranges.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up. And then that's also kind of like, oh, that's what he could become. Like,
yeah. Oh, totally.
Our universe, 616, could become that Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was kind of the same thing that happened in the, is that supposed to be the same Doctor Strange as the What If cartoon?
I don't know. I didn't watch all the What If cartoons, to be honest.
Okay. Because that's kind of what the other Doctor Strange does. He jumps through the multiverse to... In the What If cartoon, it's Rachel McAdams' character that dies in the car crash. And then that's what sends him on his journey to try and like stop her from dying kind of thing. But it's the time machine paradox where like... You know, if you go back and if you build a time machine to go back in time to stop someone from dying, you can't do it because the thing that made you build the time machine to go back in time is the fact that they die. So every time you do it, they're going to die because otherwise you wouldn't invent the time machine to go back in time.
Yep.
So It's kind of one of those.
That's why you gotta just decide to invent a time machine with no pretext.
Always just invent a time machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day. Yeah, no, I liked it better than pretty much every other Marvel movie that's come out in this phase.
I mean, are you also talking about No Way Home?
No, No Way Home was better.
Okay, yeah, because I would definitely agree that No Way Home was better.
But it's better than Shang-Chi. It's definitely better than Black Widow. It's certainly better than The Eternals.
Yeah. There was just a lot more to it. America Chavez's character is kind of like,
yeah, that was the weakest point. It's like, oh, you just have to believe in yourself, and then you can punch through the dimensions.
Although I did, yeah, like, yeah, not. Yeah, not a great character, really, and, like, not very well explored, but it was still very satisfying that she realizes in the end, like, oh, yeah, there's no way anyone can beat Wanda, which has been established for us because of all of the people she killed on the way here. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Captain Marvel can't stop you? All right.
Well, and, like, we've known this also since, you know, like, Infinity War, Endgame, they're like, you know, Wanda's the most powerful. She could destroy an Infinity Stone.
Right, she's the only one. Well, she can destroy that Infinity Stone. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's the one who gave her powers.
Right, yeah. But still.
But still, that's nuts.
She can destroy, you know, destroy that Infinity Stone. She almost, like, kills Thanos in Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's like, that's the where he's like, rain fire! Just do it. It's like, oh, he'd rather just, like, have missiles shot at him than have whatever Wanda's doing to him going on. So it's like,
yeah, pretty intense.
We know that Wanda is the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
But
then, yeah, she realizes that, like, okay, yeah, I can't actually stop Wanda, but what I can do is I can show her that her logic is flawed.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, hey, here's your kids. They're terrified of you because you're acting like a fucking monster. And that was... That was a much more satisfying end than just, like, if they beat her in combat and killed her or something.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and then she just, like, brings the whole mountain down on herself. And is she dead? I don't know. We didn't see a body, probably so it's not. Hard to say.
No,
when the mountain's coming down, there's, like, a flash of red at one point that I'm like, that's either her exploding for some reason or she, like, teleported out of there.
I don't know.
I hope she's not dead because I think she's a really interesting character.
Me too. And she's just finally sort of, like, becoming her own character as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Very true.
So
yeah, there was just a lot. There was a lot to digest in that movie.
Yeah, but if you're going to call a movie The Multiverse of Madness, fucking sell. they sold me a pup, you know? They just... It reminds me, honestly, it reminds me of like a Roger Corman B movie. Where it's like, you will see the most terrifying thing from the deepest depths of the ocean floor. And it's like, it's just like a dude with some, like, dryer hoses taped together and covered in some rubber. And this is a squid monster.
Yep.
And that's in 15 minutes of the movie. And it's an hour and a half long. There's a lot of people talking about the ocean. And it's like, the terror that stalks the ocean floor. You know, and it's like, it's the multiverse of madness. Experience things your mind won't even comprehend, and it's like, the traffic lights are backwards. My God,
that's a good point. Yeah, I didn't really think of it that way. of all the things they could have done, but yeah, well,
so yeah, I don't know, that to me, I was like, you could get up to some wacky hijinks. And maybe wacky hijinks weren't the tone for this story, but, like...
Yeah, it was more... There was epic body horror stuff and a lot of tension.
Yeah.
The shield through Captain Carter was so nasty.
There's so many opportunities, too, to, like... Because I think the big debate now online is, like, is John Krasinski going to be Reed Richards in all of the movies?
I mean, that's the fun thing about the multiverse is that they can do whatever the fuck they want.
They can do whatever the fuck they want, but it's like, you know, Professor X is the Professor X that we know from the other X-Men movies.
Yeah, but also, I mean,
but he's not in the MCU, so they have a bit of leeway there. But, like, Mordo is the same actor.
Yeah.
You know, Captain Carter is just a different version of the character played by Hayley Atwell. Same with Captain Marvel, right? It's the Maria Rambeau.
Yeah, the friend, yeah.
Or Monica Rambeau. Which one? Oh, I got them mixed up.
The mother and the daughter, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Maria, I think.
That sounds right.
Maria Rambeau. You know, it's just a different version of that character. It's not a whole new character.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not... Because it's not like... Captain Carter is a multiversal version, is like a gender-bent version of Steve Rogers' Captain America from another universe. It's a, what if Peggy got the super serum instead?
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's still Peggy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, so it'll be, yeah, and like all the Doctor Stranges are played by Benedict Cumberbatch. It's not like they go to a different universe and like it's Doctor Strange played by Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, like, they can do whatever they want. It's
they
true.
Can. Yeah.
There is precedent from the Loki show where one of the Lokis in one of the multiverses is...
An alligator?
An alligator.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's true. Yeah. See, Loki almost even had more... like multiversal whackness going on.
Oh, it had crazy stuff.
I like the alligator Loki. They had
is that what they're building up to? Is like having Kang the Conqueror
yeah
be the villain?
Because totally
the scene with Kang in that show is the best part of that show.
Oh yeah,
the way he delivers lines, I was just like totally enraptured.
He's going to be the villain in the new Ant-Man movie, I think. Is the
in Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't think that'll be the end of him.
I hope not.
I think he's odd. They're building up Kang the Conqueror to be the next Thanos.
Cool.
It's going to be the next big thing. But
yeah
I don't know. Sense. It left me. Maybe it sold me different expectations.
Well, that kind of sounds like what happened with me in Moon Knight.
Yeah, because I'm just like, you know, coming out of Everything Everywhere All at Once. Where there's like a universe where everyone has hot dogs for fingers and stuff. It's like,
I want to see that so bad.
Just give me 15 minutes in a universe where there's some like really wacky stuff. And stop trying to appeal to the four quadrant thing for everything. Because like, you take your kids to this movie?
Oh gosh, no.
No!
Hell no.
Right?
No, it is not a child appropriate movie.
No, like the way Mr. Fantastic dies.
Oh my gosh.
Not appropriate for children?
No, not at all. It's so gruesome. And then he screams and like his head kind of pops.
Yeah.
Nasty. I loved it.
Yeah. It was great. So.
I love seeing John Krasinski die. I'm just kidding.
You know, the last thing you want to explore is like, you know, mommy, why is Doctor Strange dead? Like, well, you see, honey, he's actually just possessing his dead body from another universe and reanimating the corpse a la Reanimator. Yeah, you're going to start explaining your Lovecraftian horror to your, you know, 8-year-old?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to start teaching my kids about necromancy when they're young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
They need to know that it's possible. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, fun conflicting viewpoints on the recent Marvel stuff.
Also, I don't buy Benedict Cumberbatch's accent.
Cumberbatch.
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 That's not what we're here to talk about, though.
What are we here to talk about, Aaron? Are we here to talk about the fact that this entire conversation, you've just been sitting here in a bee onesie?
Well, yeah. So this is my Bumblebee onesie.
I love it.
I got it for $7.
It looks very comfortable.
Value Village. It, the buttons go all the way down.
All the way
kind of wish it had a zipper, because you can definitely just...
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of slack in the crotch.
A lot of slack in the crotch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got real saggy scrode.
Or you just want to do lunges in your onesie.
Yeah. But, well, no.
No?
I feel like it'd be, no, I feel like if you wanted to do lunges in your ones, it'd be better to have a higher crotch.
I guess it's just like, if you have enough crotch room, then it won't matter.
Yeah, because like the crotch ends like just above my knees.
That's a low crotch.
Yeah. But we're continuing. How long have we been talking about this? Jesus.
It's one of those episodes, huh?
It is. Yeah, enough about Bumblebee onesies. Let's talk about our second addition into the cannon fodder. I'm just going to undo some buttons because the onesie is quite warm.
Those are cannons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Should I put it? Oh, should I put in some like Tchaikovsky for like the cannon fodder thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you should.
Cool. I will. Now, welcome to episode 2 in our cannon fodder minute series about movies from Cannon Films, the greatest film studio to ever create films in the 1980s.
Whoops.
This month we're talking about one that's actually pretty good.
It's kind of, yeah, we watched a documentary all about Cannon Films and everything. Yeah. This was kind of the one that was lauded as their best, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it
was, well, like,
this was their peak.
There was a clip from Roger Ebert saying that it's like one of the most exciting thrillers he's seen in a long time, and I was like, well, why have I never heard of this? Like, why have I never seen this movie? Like, it's been kind of buried, and I think recently it's sort of been given a bit of a second life. I know Kino Lorber put out like a special Blu-ray release of it a year or two ago.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, and like it's it received, you know, fairly good reviews when it came out, and both John Voight and Eric Roberts were nominated for Oscars for their performances.
Oh, shoot. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Best actor and best supporting actor for the two of them. And it's just kind of like a really good action thriller movie.
Surprisingly. Yeah.
It was based on a screenplay written by Akira Kurosawa.
Right.
Who was going to make it as his like first or second color film after Redbeard. I think it was second. I can't remember. Redbeard must be in color. I've never seen it. It's got red in the title.
Yeah, would assume.
Yeah.
You would assume. But
who knows?
I'll never tell.
Neither will I. Go to my grave. But I think it was some American financing kind of fell through. I don't know if they just like didn't trust the Japanese director to make a movie, you know, an American Hollywood kind of style movie, or what the deal was there. But it never got financed, and he just kept making movies in Japan. So I think it was also supposed to be like in English.
Yeah,
set in America, from what I understand reading about it on Wikipedia, my extensive research that I did on this, about this film on Wikipedia.
Well, then you've done all you can.
I did. I can't do any more. But like, yeah, I mean, I think it's just sort of one of those, maybe it's one of those scenarios where it's like if you throw, you know, you try enough times to
throw enough spaghetti against the wall, is that what you're trying to say?
Something's going to stick. Yeah. You try enough times to make a good movie, eventually you'll kind of just do so by just chance.
Yeah.
The law of averages just takes over, and it's like, well, you've made, you know, 12,000 films.
Yeah. It's that old adage, you know, you put enough monkeys in a room,
yeah,
eventually one of them will give birth to William Shakespeare.
Yeah. The that's human.
Yeah.
A monkey.
That's how that goes.
Well,
yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1,000 monkeys, 1,000 typewriters. Eventually they'll produce the greatest piece of literature ever, you know, created on the planet Earth. Which is, of course, The Tempest. So.
You fucker.
Was that the funniest Shakespeare play I could have picked?
Yes.
Was that good? Okay, good.
Oh, it's.
Because it's not great.
It's not. Anyway.
And not because it's like problematic or anything. It's just kind of like,
what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Holy, that was a bunt, William.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways. What if I did Midsummer, but worse?
A Runaway Train.
Runaway Train stars Runaway John Train. Voight and Eric Roberts as two guys who break out of prison.
Yeah, they sure do.
And they,
well, one of them breaks out of prison. The other one really awkwardly can't go on.
Yeah.
It's a little uncomfortable.
And they jump on a train. And just as the train is leaving the depot, or the depot for our American listeners out there.
Right.
He has a heart attack, and instead of like stopping the train, he just decides, you know what, I'm gonna go outside and then fall off the train and die.
I mean, if you're mid heart attack, you got to make some hard choices about what you're gonna do.
Fair. Well, okay, you know what, in his defense, he did try to apply the emergency brake.
That's true. Oh, he did apply the emergency brake.
Yeah,
he pulls the emergency brake, stumbles out of the car, and then just falls off of it.
Yeah.
The engine's still going, of course, and eventually the emergency brakes fall off, I think is what happens.
Like, well, yeah, because the engine's still going. We just, like, the emergency brakes engage, so it's just grinding against the wheels. So, like, something's going to break eventually,
something's
right?
Something's got to give.
Something has to give. It's physics.
I remember learning that. There was a class in physics.
Yeah. And they showed you that movie?
We just watched the movie. You beat me to it. Yeah.
It's like, and that is Newton's second law, so let's just, I don't remember the order of the laws or what all of them are, but one of them applies to this, which is an object in motion will remain in motion until acted upon by an equal or opposing, equal or greater opposing force. And
put the brain on Brad.
Yeah, and this was happening. This train is just going, and it's just going faster, because nothing's opposing it.
Yep.
And
there's no one at the helm.
It's just two convicts and a woman, which the train, you know, control operator guy is real peeved about in one scene.
Yeah, he really shows his true colors quickly in that moment.
He's like, of all the people that could have been left on that train, I got a woman?
Yeah.
My God, we're all fucked.
It's terrible. Later, he gets his face shoved in a toilet full of his own pee.
That's true.
And so,
just
while,
desserts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there was a memorial. I was like, oh, that's so horrible. Actually, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
So,
you know what they say, if you're going to piss in your own mouth, you got to be prepared to drink it.
The classic saying.
We're going to get a t-shirt with that printed up. Look, check out our Instagram for pre-orders.
Runaway Train.
Yeah. I don't think I can get canceled for saying that, right?
Only one way to find out.
Yeah, I'll leave it in. So, anyways, what was I saying? So, Runaway Train. Yeah, this guy, Manny, played by John Voight.
Mm-hmm.
Has been in solitary confinement for 3 years, welded into his cell.
That's right. There's no way to open it.
Yeah.
Which seems like it would be illegal.
Like a human rights violation?
Yeah. But this is a prison in America, so for all we know, that happens today.
It's a, I mean, sure. It's a fancy movie prison.
It is a very fancy movie prison.
And by
a lot of inmates have the ability to just make fire and burn newspaper whenever they want. They throw it around.
Yeah, just throwing so many, flaming newspapers out their cell.
Three different scenes where it's just a lot of flaming newspaper.
Yeah, like some of them are in their cells and some of them aren't. And like, they seem to be able to like wander around the prison like more or less freely.
Like
I always thought it was like, all right, you're in your cell, and then you get, you know, an hour of outside time, and then you go back to your cell, and then it's lunch, and then you go back to your cell. I mean, I don't know. I've never been in prison. I don't know how it works.
Same.
I don't know how, you know, but I assume you can't just kind of, like, wander around wherever you want. You definitely can't wear jeans and a t-shirt and a jean jacket the way John Voight is as soon as he gets out of his one cell. Like, they're not really wearing prison clothes a lot of the time. Was some of them are.
Yeah, some of them.
It's hard to tell.
Prison clothes.
Because when they change, when they after they escape, they're in the locker room, one of the locker rooms at the
train station,
train depot thing, and
depot.
And you know they're putting on different clothes, and one of them leaves his shirt behind, and it has his prisoner number on it and stuff, and yeah. So it's like that's how they kind of know
that they took a train. Yeah, so, it was a little confusing.
Like, yeah.
There's also, yeah, there's like a scene where all the prisoners are out having a riot because this prisoner who's like, Manny is like a legend among the other prisoners. And he's going to get set free. And so they start burning newspaper and screaming and shouting. And then there's a scene of the warden walking down the hallway with a bunch of guards. And then all the prisoners are just in their cells again. Didn't really know when that transition happened.
Yeah. Well, what incites that is, like, Eric Roberts is watching TV in one room and sees the news report about how he won his case to get unwelded out of his cell. And so then he leaves that room and goes into this control room. And he's like, hey, Vince, man, hey, buddy, you gotta put Channel 9 on the speakers. Let everyone hear. You know, they're letting Manny out. You gotta hear. And it's like, you just, like, walk in here? Like, what? He's like, he opened a door.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be allowed to open doors.
I don't know.
But, you know, they're in a weird maximum security prison in the mountains.
Yeah, they are in the mountains in the snow. There's a glacier nearby or something.
Yeah.
So, Stonehaven. That's what
Stonehaven's
called.
Stonehaven's what the prison's called. I can't remember what state it's in. But...
Yeah. In a state of hell.
Yeah. Yeah, run down. That's the state it's in. Mm. But yeah, it's a fun movie. I thought it's really well put together. Like, the tension is good.
Yeah.
We,
there are a lot of great tension scenes.
The scene where how Manny breaks out is Eric Roberts does the laundry. And he's also a boxer, but so he's going around pushing the laundry bin. They're all throwing the, you know, towels and shirts and stuff into one of those big fabric kind of bins on wheels, and he's pushing it, and he has to go through the gate. And then the guard, which was a female guard, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like a bad idea for that kind of prison where the prisoners seem to be able to just kind of roam.
Yeah, she around. Was opening and closing a locked door, I guess.
She was,
there
yeah.
was some security in that area.
Yeah. I think you kind of don't see that a lot, though. I think generally they kind of have male guards for male prisons and female guards for female prisoners.
No, I don't know.
That just makes sense to me, but yeah, who knows. So, you know, he
got his laundry bin.
Yeah, she checks it to make sure there's no prisoners hiding in it. And he's like, yep, just laundry, you know, doing the laundry every day. Here I go. Oh! And that's
he had
just
a very interesting
just talking to
voice.
Himself the yeah. whole time. And he just kind of goes around the corner, and Manny's there with a duffel bag.
Yep.
And just, like, hops in the laundry bin. It's like, how did he get there?
Yeah.
Where'd the duffel bag come from?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the prison environment itself makes little to no sense to me. Seems like they were asking for it.
Kind of.
If which, that's the way they're going to run their prison, you're asking for people to break out.
Which, I mean, a good point that the warden absolutely hates Manny and was 100% asking for it because he wants an excuse to kill Manny.
Oh, yeah. He literally told him, I hope you break out so that I can kill you.
Yep. He's very upfront
about verbatim. Like, that's yeah. what he says.
And, like, during the boxing match where we learned that this dude is a boxer. Someone comes up and stabs Manny in the arm, and Manny turns around and holds up a hand, and then he stabs Manny through the hand.
Yeah.
But then Manny gets a stool, and that has completely turned the tide on this knife man.
Yeah, you don't bring a knife to a stool fight. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, jeez. And yeah, he immediately gives up the fact that the warden made him do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the warden, like, hired another inmate to go stab Manny.
Yep. And then he gets stabbed a bunch.
Yep, because Manny's got friends.
Manny's got friends. Yeah, so the two of them bust out. They get all naked.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because like the whole plan was for this dude to use his laundry capabilities to get Manny out.
Yeah.
And so Manny like hops out and ducks into like the room where he's gonna escape or whatever. And then he's just like, well, I'm coming too.
Yeah.
And then just like follows him. And he just like goes into the room. Manny's already naked and he's greasing up his body. And I was like, whoa, what does this plan involve?
Yeah, so he's like rubbing grease all over himself. I don't know what kind of grease.
The thick kind.
The thick kind of grease.
Yeah.
And then saran wrapping.
Yeah, which at first I was like, okay, they got to grease up their bodies to slip down some pipes or something.
Yeah, I figured it was like to slide through, yeah, a tiny like crack in the wall or something or
but
some
then,
pipes.
But
yeah.
Then they add the saran wrap and I'm like, well, that defeats the point of the grease.
Yeah.
For what I thought it was for.
And I think what we came to the conclusion that it was some sort of insulation.
Yeah, it was something about trapping in body heat and not letting the freezing water of the river, which they had to jump into, touch
yeah,
them.
So they jump out. It's like a, what did they say? It was like a 200-foot drop or something like that?
Something ridiculous like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Into a glacial
which
river.
Which seems lethal, but
I think so.
Especially for a river. I don't, it's not a... It's
maybe,
not a
maybe we're remembering that wrong. Maybe it wasn't 200 feet, but
it was, like
it was really 30 high.
30 feet or something. Or
yeah, it looked yeah. It looked lethal for
it
sure.
It looked pretty high.
Yeah, they grease up, saran wrap up, put on their clothes again. They got to go through the sewers.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they have to jump out. They come to the end of a sewer pipe, and they got to jump into this freezing cold glacial river
yep.
That's got, like, chunks of snow and ice floating down it.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it looks fucking cold. They must be in Alaska or something. Like, that's the only place in America that I can think that would get...
glacial?
As cold as that. Or, like, maybe, like, Colorado. Like, way up in the north
know.
In the winter. I don't know.
Maybe. But anyway.
Also, there's a lot of mountains and stuff, too.
There are. Yeah, that's true.
So, it might... I don't know enough about American geography, but I know Colorado, like, Denver's, like, at altitude. There's a lot of mountains there. Whatever.
so not important to the plot.
Don't the Rockies come down? Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
Doesn't matter. But so, yeah. And then they kind of trudge.
Through the snow. To the train station.
And Eric Roberts is complaining about how he doesn't have shoes. Which, yep. What happened to his shoes? Kicked them off in a fit of joy?
Well, I think they just got soaked in the river. And they needed to find new shoes in the lockers that they were ransacking.
But Manny still had shoes.
I think Manny just found new shoes right away in the lockers.
No, he had shoes while they were trudging.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know.
So yeah, this dude, like the entire time they're escaping is just yakking on and on and on. And I kept thinking like,
most
if they get busted
annoying
because...
escape mate.
Yeah. He just like tagged along. And at first Manny's like, no. But then he's like... like, you can't really stop him from following you unless you kill him or something.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do that.
You know what
so.
It kind of reminded me of was one of the characters in A Way Out. The video game
yeah.
that we played? The Prison Break game?
That's what the laundry bins made me think of.
Yeah, oh, totally.
That was such a fun game.
That's a great game.
But yeah, geez.
10 out of 10.
Whining
recommend.
His ass off the whole time.
Yeah.
It's so good.
He's like whining, and then he's going like, oh, man, we make a great team, don't we? Hey, partner, hey, we make a great team. And just excellent.
Oh, my gosh.
But
yeah. Which one shut up so bad?
Well, yeah, but it's funny, because like the scene where he gets into the elevator when he's like pushing the laundry bin... And, you know, the guard's in there and he's like, hey, man, check this out. I got these for your kid. I hear he's going to the Grammys or whatever. Here you go. And he like gives him some like Converse.
Yeah. Some like nice sneakers.
He's like, yeah, for you, man, $80. These go for 300 new. And he's like, hey, man, I don't have $80. He's like, hey, no problem. You know what? Tell you what we're going to do for you. We're going to put you on the layaway system. He's like, what does that mean? It means you get me when you get me. And he's like, all right, I can do that. Awkward silence.
Yep.
And it's just like. You're like, oh, shit, dude. Like, you know, he's a motor mouth. As soon as the motor mouth starts or stops talking.
And you can see the uncomfortableness on his face as he's, like, resting against the laundry bin that has Manny in it.
Yeah.
The tension in that scene was good.
And then he's just like, hey, what's that? You got some porn over there?
Yeah, immediately spots the porn
and
defuses
the
situation. The
dude has a stack.
Yeah.
Like, he's the elevator operator, so he's got, like, a stool and then, like, a stack of porn magazines that I want to say is, like, 2 feet high.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
There's got to be, like, 30, 40 magazines there.
Yeah. It's a special job.
But, yeah, so they get on the train.
Oh, yeah, and they're looking around on trains.
The way they pick the train, yeah. Is this where you were going?
Yeah.
Where he's just kind of like, hey, man, how about that one? He's like, nah, man, I don't want it to end up in some parking lot somewhere. And then this train comes out of the fog, out of the mist.
The dramatic music
like
starts.
Like a fucking Hogwarts Express. Yeah. Sorry to talk about Harry Potter again. But, you know, it's definitely like a magical, mystical kind of vibe. And he's like, I want that one.
And it's just four cars.
Yeah, it's four engines.
Oh, yeah, it's four engines together.
All chained together. And he's like, why do you want that one? He's like, because I want it. It's like, okay.
No, he just had a feeling.
Cue, for the first time in the entire movie, some like 80s techno rock.
Yeah, like soft.
Soft, rock. Yeah, yeah. Every, like the score in this movie is like 80s synth, like, and then there'll be like the guitar, it's like, like some like sexy, like, yeah, soft rock wailing guitar, like you could almost replace it with a saxophone kind of vibe.
Yeah
And like that's the soundtrack.
So weird.
It's a bit weird, but like there's not a ton of music in it.
No, which is good for some of the scenes.
Yeah,
like a lot of the tension scenes to have no music whatsoever, and then definitely adds. If there was that weird guitar playing one occasional high note while the techno beat and the big reverb electronic drums were playing, it would very much ruin the tension.
I mean, honestly, like, the music is kind of the only thing that really dates this. I mean, like, you know, they're using computers that look old and stuff like that, but I think, like, if you took, you could take this script and make it today.
Yeah,
if
probably.
You didn't change a word of it.
There is one funny scene where, like, jumping ahead a bit, I guess the runaway train is in full disarray and they don't know what they're going to do and people are going to die. And the person in the operator room who like set up the system that runs all the trains is watching the news. And in the news, they're sending a rocket into space. And he's just like, how could this happen with all this technology? How can we not stop this? And he's watching the news on, like, this old, tiny, like, tube television.
Oh,
and
sure.
And like, that's hilarious to me.
But if you, But, you know, you fast forward to today, he's just watching Elon Musk, you know, or Jeff Bezos shoot his penis rocket into space.
Not a euphemism.
Not a euphemism. It looks like a dick. They did it on purpose. The engineers watched Austin Powers, and they're like, that. We're going to make that.
Life goals.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I would.
Would you?
Some crazy billionaire was like, hey, I want to build a rocket so I can go to space. Build me a rocket. I'd be like, okay, it's going to look like a penis. You got it, Mr. Bezos. Make the dick rocket.
The like, day is now.
Like, yes, sir.
Just text his engineering team. The time is nigh.
Yeah. I was like, Johnson.
Terrible. Anyway.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, I got
Wang.
You.
Wang.
Yeah.
Pecker.
All yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And I don't know what that... He was, like, watching the space shuttle landing. And it, like, it looked like it was, like, gonna give him an idea. But it doesn't.
Nope. He's just lamenting the fact that he can't think of anything to do.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
and
anyway.
That's his last scene in the movie, because then... But, I mean, the plot of the movie from once they get on the train is pretty straightforward.
It ain't stopping.
Yeah, train ain't stopping. They're hiding on the train. They don't know there's no engineer on board.
Yeah, for quite a while.
For quite a while, until, you know, the guys in the control room are constantly calling. You know, they're changing the tracks over so that it's dodging other trains, and then... But they get to this one point where they're like, hey... you know, northeast bound, whatever, you got to get onto track two because there's a runaway coming your way. And like, I don't see no runaway. Like, if you saw the runaway, you'd be dead by now. Just get on the other track. And he's like, oh shit, okay. And so like getting on the track and then like,
it's just going real slow moving over to track two.
And, you know, they just, it almost gets almost off, and then they just like annihilate the caboose of this train. And like the guy, there's a guy on that does like sees it coming, he has to like jump off the caboose at the last minute and like roll through the snow because this thing just hits it like a freaking missile.
Yep.
And just annihilates it. And then that's when they kind of go like, oh, something's going on.
Yeah, something's definitely wrong.
Yeah, like you hear the whistle. And so then they're like going to try and get up to the front, and you know
they like bundle up, you know, clothes because it's super cold and it's going real fast.
Yeah, and they've called another guy. The control room has called another guy to be like, "You got to switch this train over to this track because there's a runaway coming. We're gonna derail it."
Yeah, you know, that's right.
The guy's like, "It's heading for this bridge. It's going about 80 miles an hour. The speed limit for that bridge is 50 miles an hour. It's it's an old rickety wooden bridge. If they hit it, it's going to destroy the bridge. It's going to, it's going to be a huge thing. Like, we're going to lose the bridge." He's like, "I'd rather derail the train than lose the bridge." Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be cheaper and easier to clean up the derailment than it would to fix the bridge. And so they're like, okay. But so they call the guy, like, "Switch it over. We're going to derail her." And he's like, "All right." Goes out there, switches the tracks. And then like, as the train is coming, all of a sudden the whistle blows.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going out to try to get to the front, and they hear it, and they're like, "Oh, okay, nope." And they turn around and they go back. We should say they're in the final engine. They're in the back engine.
Yeah.
And you know, get to the front. And so the guy hears it and he runs back to his truck. He's like, "Hey, I just heard the whistle blow on this thing. Listen." And he like holds it out the window, and they're like, "Fucking don't do it. Don't, there's someone on the train. There's someone on the train. Get it. You know, don't derail it." And so he like runs back and switches it over, like just back, you know, just in time.
At the last second.
And then they've got like 10 minutes before this thing is going to hit the bridge. And all of a sudden, as the train's going by, the guy who was throwing the switches sees someone crossing between engines.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And he's like, "We got someone on board that train." And they're like, "Okay, awesome. We got someone on board the train. Who is it?" And then that's when he finds out that there was like a, what is she? She's not a conductor. She's like a,
she's an engineer, I think.
Engineer, I guess. Or, yeah.
No, is it the engineer that runs the train? I think she's some sort of mechanic.
Yeah. I feel like she was a mechanic because she kind of knows how everything works.
Yeah. And she was taking a nap in the train, which she admitted that she shouldn't have done. But no one knew that she was on there because she wasn't supposed to be there because she was napping. But then, like, when the train hit the caboose, she, like, hit her head against the wall and was, like, out for a little bit.
So she is a train driver. She is a locomotive hostler. Which in the U.S. Railroad industry, a hostler is a train driver, a type of railroad engineer who moves locomotives in and out of service facilities. So she's not the one that's going to be driving it, you know, across the country, but she's the one that probably at the depot
just moves them around.
She reparks them essentially. Yeah. She moves them around. So they're like, "Okay, you got to get it from track three to track four so we can bring in this other train." She'll go and move it over, park it, you know, that kind of stuff.
Roger.
So she knows how to drive the train, but she's not an engineer or a conductor.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's a type of engineer, I guess. And she's like basically there to deliver some exposition.
Yeah, basically, like
that's selling it a bit short. She's not a totally useless character.
No, not entirely. But she is able to tell Manny and what's his butt.
I can look it up. Hold on. I've just been calling him Eric Roberts the whole time.
Buck
sounds about right. Buck.
Oh, it's Buck.
Buck McGeehee.
Wow. Buck McGeehee.
Yeah. Mick, capital G-E-E-H-Y.
Special. She's able to tell Manny and Buck that there is no conductor on board. The door to get to the engine car is busted shut, probably from when it hit the caboose.
Yeah.
And that you can only emergency stop the engine that's in charge, which is the one at the front.
The lead engine. And it's a different kind of engine. It's an old engine. And so there's no way to get across. It doesn't have a crossing point.
In the back.
Yeah. It doesn't have a walkway. And I think they even alluded to that earlier where they were talking about the conductor. He's like, he was just trying to keep that train out of the, or that engine out of the scrapyard. That old fool.
Oh, yeah.
Dumb bastard had a heart attack trying to keep the train running. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, that's good writing.
Yeah. You know,
it's like,
honestly, it was all believable.
Giving you a reason why this train is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Creating believable reasons for your problems.
It's
very important.
And so, yeah, the lead engine is controlling all of them. You can't emergency stop them. But she does realize that the electrical cabling that's connecting all of them, if you sever that, then at least one of the engines that's connected by that cable will stop adding to the speed.
Yeah.
And so,
I think eventually the lead engine would just be dragging three engines that would be slowing it down, right? So that's kind of their plan, is to slow it down enough that they can jump, is kind of their plan.
I think so, yeah. Because otherwise, the other two were going to jump anyway while it's going like 90 and definitely die.
Well, no, Buck was going to jump, and then Manny was like, yeah, sure, we can break our necks whenever we want.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So they start going... trying to deconnect the electrical things, and they do enough.
Yeah, at first Manny tries, but Manny can't hit it properly with anything from his hands because one of his hands was stabbed through.
Yeah.
And also that arm was stabbed through. So he's only got good use of one arm. And so he tries like kicking it a bunch and it's not doing anything. But Buck is just muscle and no brain.
Yeah.
So they give him a wrench, and he does the job.
Yeah. And at some point, they do enough to slow down the train enough that it can make it over the bridge without it collapsing.
Yeah, they make it over the bridge. It looks like beams are falling off of it as it's going, but they can definitely tell that it is slowing down for some reason. And then as it's going over, the emergency workers that are there to deal with the mess see the three of them on the outside, and they're like, there are three people on that train.
Yeah, and then that's what tips off the
prison warden,
because they had found prison clothes in the locker room at the depot, right? So then he's like, oh, that's the train that they're on.
Yeah.
And so he's got this awesome plan after he soaks the guy's face in his own piss.
Right, yeah, that's him.
He takes a helicopter and he's like, we're just going to drop a guy onto the train to fight them, I guess.
I think that was the plan. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they do that. And the guy.
Yeah. Climbs down.
Well, so they're trying to crawl first. The three of them are trying to crawl into the lead engine.
Yeah. It's actually like, very, very tense scene of like, they're there at the second engine. They need to get to the lead engine, but there's no way to get there. You would need to jump from the front of one engine to the back of the other with no walkway.
Yeah.
And the engineer is like, it's impossible. There's no way to do it. You'll die. And Manny is kind of like, I would rather die than go back to prison. I'm going to fucking go for it.
Yeah.
And then Buck is like, no, no, no. You have a bad hand.
Yeah, I'll do it.
I need to do this. And then, like, before going, he turns back and he's like, partners? And Manny's like, partners. And then I'm like, ah, they're finally on the same page. Manny stopped being a dick. Buck stopped being an idiot. And now they're partners. And then Buck goes out to do it and, like, almost falls a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And is finding out that there's really no good way to do it. He's trying to climb along the side of an engine to jump to one away. But, like, he needs to get on top of the engine in order to have enough air
time
to
jump. There is a good way to do it.
Yeah, you did point out that there was one obvious choice that they did not make.
Yeah.
Which was to just smash the windshield.
Yeah.
So that you're already on top of the engine as soon as you climb out.
Yeah.
But they didn't think of that.
Didn't do that, so that's great.
And then eventually Buck can't hack it, and he comes back to the door.
Yeah.
And Manny holds the door closed and tells him to get back out there.
Yeah.
And
real middle management type of move from Manny there.
Yeah, and like it's so interesting because like they just had this moment of being like brothers, and then Manny immediately shows his true colors and is like, no, you're going to go sacrifice your life to try to save mine.
Yeah, he's like, you want to be a tough guy? You want to be a tough guy, huh?
Yep. And she's not having that. She's like, let him back in, and she's screaming, and she jumps on his back to pull him away so that he can fall in. And then he threatens her, and Buck's like, don't you hurt her, because they bonded, I guess. Or he's just
even though softie. He like threatened to rape her as soon as she first showed up.
Immediately. And her response was just try it.
Didn't threaten to. He asked her if she'd be interested in it.
Yes. Yeah, not a
it was a threat.
Yeah.
It was a threat.
But then all of a sudden, like, you know, tensions rise. Manny pulls his prison shank out.
Oh yeah.
And Buck has a wrench. And they're gonna fight, and then the engineer like bites his bad hand to distract him, and he goes to hold up the knife, and Buck smashes his other arm with the wrench.
Yep.
And then there's just like a whole lot of tension before you just see the spirit shrink out of Manny, and he drops the knife, and Buck drops the wrench, and like they all just kind of collapse in the tension in the car, and Buck starts delivering this kind of speech of like, you were a hero to everyone in that prison, and you actually suck.
Yeah,
basically.
It's basically, yeah.
It's like really surprisingly emotional.
Yeah,
this I wasn't really expecting that.
No, and I think that's where the nominations come in for both of those guys,
because that was the scene.
Yeah, they're both doing a really good job in yeah. that scene.
And like he shrivels, like Manny just kind of shrivels in on himself.
Yeah,
and the engineer actually like comes in and like puts a hand on his shoulder, and Buck comes in, and they just kind of have a moment together, being like, okay, we're all gonna die together.
Yeah,
that's what's gonna happen now.
Yeah. But then a helicopter appears with a man dangling on it.
Sure does.
Off a ladder. Yeah, the guy, you know, tries to jump onto the
second
engine where they are. And
I think he touches down on the lead engine, but at the back of it.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he lets go of the ladder, he eats windshield.
Yeah.
Like real fast.
Yeah, just goes flying into the windshield, smashes it, cuts himself up real good, and then just falls underneath the wheels of the train.
Yep, gone real quick.
Yeah, and so then, you know, the windshield's gone, and Manny's like, I know what to do. I'm gonna lean out the windshield and just shout at the warden for like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
they're like going
really long
because they're going through these like short tunnels, like through the mountains at this point. So they've been like going under a tunnel, and they'll be in there for like 30 seconds and then pop out, and he's still like, you want me to go? No, don't you come down here and get me, you piece of shit. And then like go into a tunnel, like, you fucking coward, come down here and get me. You want a piece of me, huh? You want to bring me back? And then, and that just goes on for a while until the warden's
like a long time. It was really weird.
Well, so the warden sees the guy hit the windshield, sees him eat shit on the train, and he's like, yeah, and just like puts on a balaclava and climbs out of the helicopter. It's just like, really? That was the thing where you're like, I need to get me a piece of that.
That looks like a great time.
Just
really wants to kill Manny himself
so bad. And so then Manny's like, hold on, I can just climb through this windshield.
Right.
So he takes the wrench.
The thing that occurred to Aaron like half an hour ago finally occurs to them.
Break the windshield, man. You got a wrench. Just do it. So he clears it out and he's like, I gotta do this. I'm doing it. And he gets up, climbs out the windshield, and he jumps out of frame.
Yeah, we just see like the point of view shot from Buck and the engineer who are like huddled on the ground. And we just see like a bit of the hood, and Manny just jumps and
he's
gone.
Yeah, because at this point, I think right before that happens, they change tracks again, and the engineer's like, oh my god, they put us on this beeline. It's out of service.
Oh, yeah, it's a dead end.
Because they realized that the train was going to go right past a...
chemical plant?
A chemical plant, and it was, like, on a curve, and, like, at that speed, it wasn't going to make the curve. And so it was going to derail, and it was going to... It's a nuclear power plant or a chemical plant or something, and so it was going to hit the plant, and it was...
a big disaster.
Big ecological, environmental disaster and kill a lot of people. So they're like, we got to derail the train. We're going to kill three people. That's the, you know, the needs of the many outweighed the needs of the few kind of... it's literally the trolley problem.
Literally that, yeah.
It's literally the trolley problem.
Yeah, I was thinking that while watching. I'm like, oh, that's what this is right now.
Yeah, so it's trolley problem, the movie. And she's like, oh my
God. Runaway trolley.
Yeah, she's like, they put us on this old out-of-service beeline that we don't use anymore. It's a dead end. They're going to crash it. They're going to kill us.
Yeah, she says, that as soon as it moves, she says, they've given up on us.
Yeah.
She immediately understands.
Yeah, so
yeah,
so that's when he's like, yeah, man, he's like, okay, I gotta do this, and he goes, he just kind of jumps out, and you're like, huh, where'd he go? It turns out he's like fucking Indiana Jones, just like underneath the the truck, he's just like hanging underneath the train, just like getting dragged, basically.
Yep.
Trying to climb back up, and he's got his bad hand. And he shoves his bad hand into like try and grab, and it like grabs onto the, where the train couples.
Yeah.
And it like moves and just like crushes all his fingers off.
Blood sprays.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was gruesome.
Yeah. And so he manages to pull himself up.
Yeah. Just barely. Like
just barely.
So much effort. So much will to not die there.
Yeah. Gets into the front engine, which has been pretty fucked up by the hit in the caboose. There's it's been torn to shreds, and the
yeah, it just looks
conductor,
like
the compartment.
It looks like a Mad Max train in the front, where
yeah,
it's just like jagged chunks of metal everywhere.
Yeah, and the cockpit's all fucked up.
Yeah.
And like just as he gets in there, what's the warden's name?
Rankin.
Rankin. That's
yeah,
right.
He's the middle child of the Rankin family. He got really into being a prison warden.
Oh, cool.
Instead
yeah.
of music. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, Celtic folk songs are for suckers.
I'm going to go be a dick to prisoners.
So yeah, that's when he lands, and they have a bit of a fight, and he ends up getting handcuffed to,
something. Yeah, he's got a gun, and he's going in there pretty half cocked, really.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then, Manny found a fire extinguisher, and he just like soaks him
with water, and it's like freezing outside, so that probably hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And then he beats him with it a few times, and then yeah, handcuffs him so that his hands are behind his back, looped through one of the jagged chunks of metal at the front of the train.
Yeah. And you know, the guy's going like, you're gonna push that button, you're gonna kill us, and he's like, yeah, that's fine. It's like, I got all the time in the world. And he's going like, you serious? You're gonna let us die? You're gonna kill us? He's like, yeah, but you're gonna die with me. So
yeah, he's like, you gotta push the button. We only got about 5 minutes. And he's like, well, it sounds like we got 5 minutes to have a pleasant train ride together.
Yeah. And so finally, he's like, what about those other two, huh? You gonna let them die?
What about that punk and that girl?
Yeah. You gonna let them die too? And he's like, you're right. It should just be you and me. And he like grabs the wrench and he heads outside. And he...
Uncouples the cars.
And, then climbs on top of the train and fucking surfs that thing into oblivion like a badass.
Yeah, it's actually kind of awesome. He uncouples the car. The engineer and Buck feel it like slow down, and then finally stand up, and they can see him uncoupling the car. And Buck's just like screaming like, you gotta stop the train. You just gotta push the button. That's all you gotta do. And she's like, puts a hand on his shoulder and is like, he knows what he wants.
Yeah, like he knows what he's, yeah. What he wants, what he's
doing.
And
then he climbs on the train, and there's just this awesome shot of the car sailing away into the mist with the silhouette of him standing on top of it. Yeah, surfing it like a badass.
He's just like riding it straight into hell.
And I remember in that moment being like, I really hope that they don't cheapen the moment by showing it hit anything and just having a big explosion. And they didn't.
They
just let it sail away into the mist. Roll credits.
Well, no, sail away into the mist, Shakespeare quote.
Oh yeah, that's
screen.
Right. That was
some.
That was a little weird.
Was it from Richard III? Something like that.
I don't remember.
I am no beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
That was odd, but...
It was odd.
But ultimately, it was like, wow, that was a really good ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Canon Films. You done it again.
You done it.
Yeah.
Once.
You did it once. Good job.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. I mean, there was that section in the documentary where they're talking about how, like, they were hiring, you know, Zeffirelli and Cassavetes and Jean-Luc Godard and, like, all these guys to, like, try and make these, like, because, like, you know, the Golan and Globus, they're, like, they're movie fans at heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love cinema. And so, like, they're big fans of guys like Jean-Luc Godard. And it's like, you know, you've seen French New Wave movies, but you made Delta Force. Like, what the fuck? You know, so, like, they're fans of these guys, and so they're, like, they're hiring them to make movies, and so they don't really touch on how those movies were received, though, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Zeffirelli talks about how, like, he loved making Othello for...
Yeah, he loved working with them.
He loved working with them. He's like, they were the best producers I ever worked with, and that was my favorite movie that I ever made.
Yeah.
Was Othello. And it's like, oh, okay, well, you had a pretty good career. And yeah, and like guys like John Cassavetes and stuff, like these are guys that know how to make movies. Like
mm-hmm.
Cassavetes has got, you know, multiple films in the Criterion Collection, and so
that's
does
right.
So does Jean-Luc Godard, you know. So like, but they don't really talk about too much about how those films were received, or you know, even movies like Barfly and stuff like that. They don't talk about how those movies were received. This was the only one where they like went out of their way to be like, this was a good movie that critics liked, and
yeah.
Here's a Roger Ebert quote to prove it.
Yep.
And
yeah, it was good.
It was good. It was very good. So yeah, I think we can give this thing ratings if you want.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty clear that Runaway Train is getting a Breakfast Club fist bump.
Absolutely. Don't you forget about this one.
Trolley.
It is very, very good.
Yeah.
It holds
a lot of shouting and a lot of tension.
A lot of shouting.
So much shouting.
A lot of shouting. Do you want to know what it has on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes. Gonna guess 62.
Oh, no, dude. Way better.
78.
Even better.
84.
83.
83. That's yeah. high.
That's certified fresh, my dude.
That is high.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it says Roger Ebert wrote that the opening prison scenes were well made, but routine, while the film's genius is showed in the train sequences with stunning action sequences and the contrast between Robert's wild man persona and Voight's intelligent convict. So, there you go. That's Runaway Train, a good movie by Canon Films.
Crazy.
Absolutely crazy.
But our Canon fodder is not over yet.
No, it's not. We are taking a short hiatus from the Canon fodder next month. We're going to watch Buzz Lightyear of Star Command.
Yep, I saw a trailer for that recently while I was at the theater to watch Multiverse of Madness, and I was like, oh boy, what the fuck is this?
Well, okay, so that's Lightyear.
Oh, right, yeah.
What we're watching is the cartoon movie yeah. that came out after Toy Story 2, I want to say.
Gosh, it was so long ago now, wasn't it?
They did a direct-to-video Buzz Lightyear movie that led into a TV show on Disney Channel. The movie stars actually has Tim Allen doing the voice. I believe the TV show did not. But we're going to watch that because I figured, you know what? That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've ever done Disney on this show.
I don't think so.
So let's take a look at that and see what... It's our first foray into the weird, weird universe of Disney sequel tie in direct to video stuff. You know? Because, like,
yep.
For all the Disney animated classics that are out there, there is a dumpster full of direct to video sequels and just crap.
So much garbage.
You love The Little Mermaid?
Yep.
You love The Little Mermaid 2?
No, I don't.
You like Cinderella 2?
I don't think I ever saw that one.
Yeah, no.
I did see Little Mermaid 2. It's bad.
It's bad. I've seen Lion King 2.
Lion King 2 I did like as a kid, so it does have a bit of nostalgia for me. Lion King 1.5.
I don't remember it being great, though.
It's not. Yeah. You watch it again and you're like, wow, these songs are terrible. Because they're not written by Elton freaking John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no Tim Rice.
Nope.
Elton John combo going down. So, yeah, that's, this is kind of one of those.
Interesting.
The Aladdin sequels, you know? Return of Jafar, not good.
Such a stinker.
King of Thieves, decent.
Better. Yeah, that's true.
They got Robin Williams back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, you know, they're hit and miss. They're up and down. They're all around.
I didn't really ever think about how many of those Disney stinkers there are out there.
Yeah.
Well, this will be fun.
But, it's kind of, you know, the Buzz Lightyear movie is, like, supposed to be, like, the movie that Andy would have gone to see in Toy Story that made him want to buy the Buzz Lightyear action figure.
That's,
I think, is kind of the...
So meta.
Yeah. You know, it's like, this is like not Buzz Lightyear the toy, this is Buzz Lightyear the character.
Yeah.
And that's what the animated movie is too. It's like, this is the Buzz Lightyear that, you know, that the toy is based on. This is like the franchise kind of thing. But it's a 2D animated cartoon movie.
Cool.
I remember watching it as a kid and I remember liking it. Let's see if that still rings true.
Yeah, we'll see if it holds up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that's the show, right?
I think so. I think it happened.
Cool. Well, join us next month for that. It's been a slice talking movies and shit with you. And if you are a fan of the show, please leave us a review on iTunes.
Make it 5-star, make it scathing.
Make it 5 stars, say whatever you want. if you leave a 5-star review and I'll read it out on the show. That's the Retro Craptacular guarantee. You can find links to all of our socials and everything, including our Patreon, on linktr.ee/retrocrappod. The Patreon is a lot of fun. It's a lot of cool stuff. We do stuff there sometimes, but there's some bonus episodes, commentary tracks, all kinds of stuff.
I think it's those two kinds of stuff.
Those are the two kinds of stuff that we have, yeah.
Bonus episodes and commentary tracks.
Yeah. What else do you want? Let us know. We'll probably do it.
Probably. I don't know. Well, it depends on how hard it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
We might not.
If you're like, remake Roadhouse, like, shot for shot, it'd be like, why? Why improve on perfection? But yeah, that's the show. We'll see you next month with some Disney shit before we conclude.
We'll be building the buzz.
Yeah.
Lightyear. You get it? Did you get my joke? Aaron?
Yep.
Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get it?
Yep.
Good?
Nope, I got it.
Just checking.
No, I didn't get it. Can you explain it to me?
So the character. It's named Buzz.
Thanks, Dad. So, until next time. Wait, no, I was in the middle of saying something and you dad joked me. Oh, yeah, right. Then we're going to come back and do some other canon movies. I don't know, the Apple and something else. I don't remember. It's not important. Until next time, keep watching crap.
Nice. Way to pull out.